All right, everybody. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com. Matthew Aaron Show on iTunes, where we got our 50,000-plus subscribers. Thank you very much for listening. Also, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter and Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there. And I appreciate you guys listening in because I have a very special show today, I think. number one movie in the country. I saw it a few weeks ago, and I got to say, I have a lot of good things to say about it. And I wanted to see what your guys' takes on it. But I'm with Phil Lord and Chris Miller. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Great. How are you doing?
Thanks for having us on your show.
Yes, for our listeners, Phil, why don't you say hello?
Hi. Sorry, I know we talk over each other all the time. That's not cool. I sound like this. I'm kind of nasally sounding.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I have allergies. Those are really cool. I'm sure your listeners are
Me
excited
too.
To
I'm
hear
dying.
About that.
I'm dying right
it's brutal.
Now.
Brutal. And I'm Chris, and I sound like this. Very, very super macho and cool and not nerdy at all.
Yeah, that's very good, Chris. did you when you saw that, did you think people were going to go see it?
What, 21 Jump
Street? Yeah.
Yes. But here's why. Here's why. Okay. This movie actually has a lot of heart. this is crazy. All right, so this is what I imagine. You tell me if I'm right or not, and then give me the real story.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, here's what I imagine. Some whack job gives Jonah Hill a script that says, or an idea, and says, let's do 21 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. Jonah Hill goes, that's the worst fucking idea I ever heard.
So far, fairly
accurate. So far, exactly true.
Okay. Somehow, though, I don't know, maybe he's having a few beers, he's watching the game, I don't know. And he goes, well, maybe I can make this work. Maybe it's just so, like, goofy and, like, out there of an idea. Because, I mean, like, this isn't ER. This isn't Friends. It's 21 fucking Jump Street, you know? And, like, so maybe he's, like, maybe it's just, you know, known well enough where I could do a spin on it and we could do a really creative flick. Is that somewhat what
I would say that's fairly
that's
accurate.
Very accurate. You are
accurate.
A Nostradamus of a very narrow bandwidth.
Well,
he basically started talking to Michael Bacall, the screenwriter, about doing it in a way that was very different tonally from the original show. They were like, let's just make it its own thing and go crazy.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just, because as a Second City guy and as an actor or writer, I just imagine if someone told me this idea and I would
You'd
have
be
been
like, oh, no.
I would have been like, that's the worst. Well, me, yeah. A guy who nobody knows, I would have been like, sure, I'll do.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do the White Root.
I'll do anything.
But, you know, Jonah is probably like, this is fucking crazy. And then how you guys get aboard this film?
Well, Jonah and Michael had worked on the story, and Michael had written up a script, and we had just finished doing Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is...
Great movie.
It's very different from this film, and yet, in many ways, not.
But we had this idea that we wanted to do the exact opposite, and we weren't sure what that was, but then we read this insane script that Bacall wrote, which was so, like, macho and aggressive and just had a lot of momentum to it, and we thought... This is crazy. I bet if we did X, Y, and Z, this could actually work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, that's been a big motivator in our career, is finding ideas that shouldn't work and then thinking of a way to do it.
We were also initially skeptical. Like, I think all people should be of doing a 21 Jump Street movie. But then it was its own thing, and it became, you know, you couldn't, if it was trying to be super reverential to the show, it would have been... just wouldn't have felt right.
Yeah.
And if it was like a super spoof where everyone was in like 80s wigs and like wacky wackadoo, then it wouldn't have felt right. And so...
And Jonah said, like, you know, I said to my agent, fuck you, this is the worst idea ever. And then I realized that guys going back into high school and getting lost
that's the
in
story.
That, that's a real movie. That's a great idea for a movie.
There's something universal about that.
And then you have this title on it that makes everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It makes the studio feel comfortable releasing it, and everyone gets excited, and it's a news story. And suddenly you have a great platform just to make a good movie.
And then he and Bacall were like, well, what if we did, like, Bad Boys... but meets John Hughes, and they're like, "That's crazy."
Oh man, I would have loved to heard that.
Yeah.
So who were you guys in this movie? I know you guys went to Dartmouth, so I got my guests already lined up.
The
that you're in the
job. We're in the Channing Tatum.
Clearly,
obviously,
we're Channing Tatum.
Obviously,
super handsome. We're really very handsome.
No, I mean, like,
you guys are good looking guys.
We're okay.
I've seen uglier directors.
You're okay. Yeah.
I'm sure. We're fine.
You know what? I wanted to say I love about this movie too, and then I want to get back to what you guys gave to this production based off your own lives. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say, not only does this film have a lot of heart, but it's very like, like everyone can relate to it. Everyone in some way can relate to this story. Because even the Channing Tatum character, which, by the way, I thought he was really funny in The Dilemma. I don't know if you ever saw The Dilemma.
Yeah, he's great.
So I wasn't worried like everyone else. I just think, you know. But what I really love about this also, I'm getting crazy. It's like the Chris Farley show.
That's cool. I love it. To be on this side of it is so fun.
Yeah, you're the Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. The movie's not mean. And I like writing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I love watching stuff like that. It's not a mean movie. You guys don't make fun of people. You're not mean to people. It's a good-hearted dick joke movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a very deliberate choice on our part. And we're not particularly mean guys when we're at our best, but we definitely had the sense that, you know, this movie had to be sweet if it was going to appeal to people, and we really were disciplined about it. And as a matter of fact, at one point, there was a cut of the movie where everyone was just nice all the time.
Just too nice.
And we're like, oh, okay, good. We went too far. I'm glad now. Now we can like add back them being kind of dicks to one another a little bit.
That's great. That's not even Method Man's that mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By the way, and your casting was brilliant because Brie Larson is
that
right?
She's awesome.
The sweetest looking girl on the planet.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's
Yeah, and you know, we tried to cast people that were going to bring some of their own personality to the role.
Jake Johnson.
Life experience.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Brie is somebody that you totally get the sense that like this is a girl who is trying to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and we always thought that was an interesting type that like here she is running with the bad guys, but it's really just because she hasn't found her place yet. And
yeah.
She's a sweet person underneath. And Brie, you know, embodies that. So, you know.
I think in that regard, you guys really nailed it with the casting. I mean, even down to, like, Ice Cube is. And by the way, first of all, I'm sure he's even a good cook. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what the guy
do?
Doesn't do,
what
you know?
Good at everything.
I know. It's pretty. It was intimidating. It was, like, all self intimidation because we're like, oh, my God. Ice Cube, he's an amazing musician, and he's a writer, he's an actor, he's a producer, he's a director, he's everything, and you're like...
And one of my friends, Tiny Lister's good friends with mm-hmm. him, and they're going to do another Friday movie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
oh,
Tiny says he's the nicest guy ever.
He's so nice.
The nicest guy ever, and he can afford to be, because he's beat me up so many times in my mind that he doesn't
like,
actually...
Whatever you want, Mr. Cube.
Yeah, you're just so. I don't know
cool.
what it is. You know, he just he reinvented rap music.
Yeah, at like 20,
yeah.
22, 23.
Then he like he gives this incredible authentic performance in an amazing game changing movie mm-hmm. that defines a genre. Okay. Then he goes on to like write a wacky comedy, you know, and then direct stuff and is a TV producer, and he also. You know, there was this thing in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, which was like a collaboration between the Hammer Museum and a bunch of other arts organizations. And he did this video about the Eameses and architecture in Los Angeles that was by far the most exciting thing of the whole program.
He was an architecture like student in college. I mean, like, what can this guy do?
He just does everything.
Yeah, well,
I totally lost my train of thought when you brought up Ice Cube and architecture.
I swear to God,
look it up. It's unbelievable. Look up Ice Cube Pacific Standard Time. It's the coolest thing you've ever seen.
I remember what I was going to say. How great is he in Barbershop?
Oh, amazing.
What a performance.
I know.
A killer. He's the best. And he's a family man.
And he's a good person.
He's a good person. And he stumped for this movie for 21 Jump Street and went around the country and did talk shows, and you know, yeah. it is not trivial to get somebody like that, who's that famous, who's that much of an icon, to do press right. for a movie.
He's maybe from the planet Krypton or something, because I don't think
he doesn't.
He could not be a real human.
And he has like rules. He's like, look, the way you do this, and he's like, he's obviously like been on tour and all this stuff. Like he's got all this experience. He's like, you gotta pick your days to go hard. I'm gonna like have fun on Tuesday, and that means that Wednesday and Thursday I relax. And I go to my hotel room and I don't wild out. So he's just methodical about things. And he's so great on the set. You know, we're really first time live action guys, and we got lots to learn. And a couple times he was like, hey, you know, I don't want to step on your toes, but, you know, have you ever thought about this or that? And I'm like, thank you. You know, like, how great is it to have an amazing filmmaker with you?
That's great. I'm going to stump for Ice Cube right
you
now.
You should do it. You should.
If you don't have a part for him in this Lego movie, you guys are terrible human beings.
Yeah. We really are.
Is there a better Lego than Ice Cube?
No.
I can't think of one.
That's a really good idea. I'm literally going to go try to figure that out right after this interview.
He's great. He's
amazing.
He's great. I mean, just his voice alone, because I'm sure, we'll get to it, but this Lego movie, I'm sure, is the animated film. Right? And by the way, mm-hmm. what a great fucking idea. How come no one's done it up until now?
Well, people have done a lot of little ones in their basement.
I've seen it on the YouTube.
Yeah. Like the brick films have been, they're amazing, and the amount of like artistry
that goes
into them.
What if you gave those kids money?
That's basically our
that's
concept.
That's literally our pitch.
Really?
Well, like, what if you gave them like Michael Bay money? What would they do?
Yeah, like in a real like a lighting crew and like everything and like fancy motion control cameras and stuff.
Oh. Exactly, but have it feel that homemade and that spontaneous and that inventive.
I was such a Lego addict as a kid. I'm 28,
likewise.
So that was like the Lego. Like when I was growing up, that was the time.
Classic space.
Yeah. And we didn't have all the cool new Legos that are out. Out now, right?
Fancy IP stuff. It was
right. Remember the only space guy was the guy with the little like space helmet, and you could like flip his visor, and you thought that was the coolest thing ever.
God.
I could flip his visor.
Yeah, now you got the Star Wars.
Yeah, now you got Darth Vader.
It's great because it's one of the things you're learning. Yeah, is that even Darth Vader is cute in Lego. You know, you can take anything, and so that's why. We're really approaching this like a pretty serious action movie because when you reduce it down to that size, it's adorable.
Well, it's a great idea because have you played the video games?
Oh, yeah. They're so great.
Come on.
They're very fun.
TT Games that makes those. They're a great company.
Right.
They're out in England, and they're fantastic and creative.
The Batman one's great. The Indiana Jones one is dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fun.
They're fun, man.
Yeah, they're really fun. Cool over there.
And isn't it great? Do either of you have kids?
I have a 3-year-old son.
So Chris, you got a 3-year-old. He can go see this Lego movie.
Yeah, he can do it.
I mean, that's great for him, man.
Yeah.
I think that
you're going to peel his eyes open like Clockwork Orange and make him watch it.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
He did come to some of the sound mixing for... the 21 Jump Street and saw some foul language.
Did he repeat that stuff?
He never did, thankfully. Like, we come into
did
this,
he know it was foul? Is he at that age where he knew?
You know, he'd gone to the set several times and he knew Jonah and Channing loved them and they were so kind to him the whole time. And like, he walks in while we're mixing, and it's just, like, right in the middle of, cocksucking, we're fucking best friends. and then he looks up on the screen and is like, Jonah! And
see, he doesn't know what those words mean.
Exactly.
So he's like, I'm not going to use
maybe
those.
Maybe you should maybe come back later. Like, well, what scene?
You might as well learn them now.
Yeah.
Desensitize them is what I think, and then he
so
won't think they're
so
cool.
Wait, what does the wife think about you bringing them to, like, a sound mix
she
session?
She was the one that brought them in.
She brought
like,
them?
And she was like, wait, why? What scene? Can I come back at a different time? Or like,
have you read the script?
Yeah.
There's no other time.
There's literally no part of the movie that he can hear.
I know.
There's no other time.
We've heard stories.
They're making an airplane version of the movie.
Well, they're doing that.
Which will be about 45 minutes long.
But we've heard all these stories of people like, oh, I love the movie, and my 10 and 12-year-old loved it too.
Oh.
Like, wow,
you're
cool.
The worst.
That must melt your heart.
It does.
That really,
it really is.
It's very, I mean, it's...
We can't. Fairly,
you don't feel responsible.
Yeah. There's some bad language and maybe some. There's a lot of dick jokes. I will say there's a lot of dick jokes.
People, but we also consoled ourselves, going like, "Look, this is a not very classy film, but it's okay. It's like people who see it understand the difference." But I hear that like
also,
your 10-year-old is going.
I think for all the people that listen to the show that are in film school and stuff, I think you guys made a great example because you went from you know, meatballs falling from the sky to shooting off people's dicks.
Right.
Like, I think that's really cool that you guys have that balance. And I got to say, it's crazy. What a crazy mixture, because you got Michael Bacall, who did Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
And he's just nuts, you know. Mm. The guy's like a Red Bull walking, you know.
Oh, my God. Have you hung out with him?
He's a tall so glass of cocaine. I have not hung out with him, but his writing
like
style.
Oh, yeah.
In person, he's like a Red Bull walking.
Yeah.
It's true. And he draws from a lot of personal experience.
Yeah, and then you guys bring in the heart, and Jonah brings in, and Jonah and Channing, and they did what I've always thought is the key to comedy, and I do this anytime I act, and I recommend anyone that does comedy do this. Gene Wilder had a quote years ago that you should play comedy straight. It's all in the script. If the script's good, or if you're a good improviser, but play it straight. Don't go for the ego. Don't go for the big, huge, like, don't make a scene of yourself.
Don't worry about being funny with a capital F.
Yeah.
You know, just play the scene. Like, when you talk about Gene Wilder, the first thing I think of is Everything You Want to Know About Sex or Afraid to Ask, when he's having this like very serious, loving lover's conversation with like a goat or whatever, or a sheep.
Plays
and,
it straight.
And he plays it totally, he plays it like a drama. And it's fantastic. It's a gasp.
And you know, that's where, that's the way Jonah was sort of trained in the world of comedy. It's like, you got to play it straight. Just do it the real, do the real of the scene. Like, if something crazy is happening, react to it the way you would really react, like a normal person.
What a great dude. I'm just really glad he got thin, because it gives me more options. But, I always make jokes. I'll go to meetings or something, and I'll be like, oh, I had a real bad week. And I'd always end it with, and I think Jonah put on 5 pounds. It's just not
it's
a good
terrible.
Week.
It's terrible for you. Yeah.
It's awful for me. Listen, Jonah, I'm the fat, funny guy. You go be good looking, do some dramas. Take some leads. Take that Oscar and run with it, brother.
Yeah.
I love
you. No joke. And, well, I mean, it's interesting. There was so much blowback about, like, Jonah being skinny and people saying he was not going to be funny anymore.
That was funny. That was funny to hear, because it was like, it wasn't just he was skinny, he was a different human being.
Right. It's like, I mean, the jokes that he tells are not like, oh, I'm so hungry, I got to eat me some donuts. That's not the joke that he does, you know? He plays kind of like a nerdy guy who's either like trying to prove he's cool or thinks he's
trying
cool
to get laid.
Or trying to get laid or something. And it's a thing that like skinny or fat or blue or brown or whatever he is, he's funny. I mean, he's funny as an animated character.
I agree. I just think, and here's the thing that was great about him in this movie is, once again, Jonah just played it straight, like we were talking about. He never did it up. He, like, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, when you play it straight, how are you really acting? Mm-hmm. But you are.
Man,
you're playing
got an Academy
versions
Award
of yourself.
Nomination for playing it straight.
Yeah, and a lot of acting is just playing versions of yourself.
Right.
And the guy just played a different version of himself. He wasn't super bad Jonah.
Right.
You know, he was cop Jonah.
Right. Exactly.
which was funny in itself.
Yeah.
And what was great about it, too, is you guys don't do a bunch of jokes about, oh, Jonah's the worst cop ever.
Right.
He's a really smart cop. He's capable. Like, it wasn't like fat guy being a cop. It wasn't Paul Blart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with Paul Blart.
Nothing wrong with
Paul
Blart.
Very successful motion picture.
A fine film. But we really felt like this had to feel different than that, that these guys needed to be skilled, that when they shot their guns, they were good at it.
Yeah.
They might get scared and chicken shit and throw the gun because they're too afraid, but it wasn't that, like, you know, they went to the firing range and they knew what they were doing. That seemed funnier to us.
And it seemed like playing the reality of it, like where when Channing kills somebody for the first time, then he like barfs because he can't like handle the fact that he just killed somebody.
That's
a big deal if the first time.
Well, we talked to
somebody.
You know, some real cops. I mean, you know, in Santa Monica. So
not so the real cops are in quotation.
Yeah, but I mean, those guys, like, you know, there's very few cops will ever fire their gun in the line of fire.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. And when you talk to guys that had recently been a firefight in Santa Monica, and these guys were kind of talking about it, and it had really rattled them in a real way. And that was really interesting to us.
I love that. And you know what else is great? I'm glad you talked to Santa Monica cops and not Beverly Hills cops. Have you seen that building?
Oh, the Beverly Hills. Nice.
It's ridiculous.
It's fancy.
I remember when Diana Ross went to jail there for like a weekend, and they showed like her jail cell. I'm like, that's nicer than my bedroom.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's comfy couches.
And it's like a really nice hospital.
I'm like, what?
Lots of magazines.
You know what? I really got a sense too. You guys had like a 48 hours vibe going, but you also had, and this is one of my favorite movies ever, especially being from Chicago, Running Scared. Gregory Hines, Billy Crystal, because absolutely, these two guys really love each other.
Yeah.
In a straight way. And
relatively straight way.
More straight than in Running Scared, I'll say.
I gotta tell you, I love it. They just walk in each other with women, and they don't care. No one acts shocked to see Greg Hines naked. Yeah. Remember when Billy goes over there at the end and Greg's like banging the broad?
Literally, it's one of the things that like most shocked me as a young person. Yeah. And when I think of that movie, I like love that movie. And you're right, like we patterned our movie off of that. We thought a lot about that movie. I think it's beautiful, but gorgeous. I think about that scene
Chicago
in a yucky
movie.
Way. Like that scene, I remember it and I go, oh God.
The first one too, when he walks in with the donut.
Yeah, that's right.
He's just eating Dunkin' Donuts.
He's
like, hey, what's up, naked
guy? He's got a motorcycle and he's got the flashers on. And it's playing music and they're boning, listening to the music to the flashers. It's so
gross. You guys were kind of missing a Michael McDonald Sweet Freedom.
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
They could have gone to Key West.
Yeah.
We actually had
wore their hat
in
shirt.
The movie.
There was
a time when we had like a crazy like
montage kind of thing,
a fantasy sequence.
Yeah, like a title sequence
when they're like riding red mopeds, just like in Running Scared.
Oh, we had we literally this shot in Running Scared, this frame, this part of the movie. Like we just thought that was so hilarious. That's what you did to score chicks is you put on really tight shorts, you wore roller skates, and then you got
down
on these mopeds.
Oh man!
And you went down to Key West where all the babes are. It was like such a naive idea of what Key West was.
That is my favorite montage in film history.
It's fantastic, and it does its job. Like it's totally cheesy, but it totally does the job of like those guys are having fun.
Yeah,
I want them to have that. I want them to get that bar, and I want them to live and have something to live for. And there was something neat. The best thing about that movie is those guys are buddies.
Yeah.
And they love each other the whole way through.
They're not like, oh, I'm stuck with you and we don't get along. And maybe we'll get along
they
someday.
They do great with that, too, with Billy Crystal's family knows Gregory Hines. Billy's ex-wife knows Gregory Hines. Like, everyone knows
each other. They're all longtime friends.
In this movie, it's great because you have Jonah's parents acting like they're also going to be parents to Channing.
Right.
And you got all the pictures on the wall, and Channing puts the one on the wall. Oh, it had so much art. But it's funny. Too, but you guys don't do it like over the top. And I gotta tell you, in this day and age where everyone wants extreme R-rated comedies, I really appreciated that you guys did. It's crazy saying this because everyone's saying how R-rated it is, but you held back a little.
Yeah.
You did. You really did.
Well,
there's
we're not
a lot
that
of
gross.
Heart in this.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, there's a few moments where it crosses a pretty crazy line, like especially near the end.
poor Rob Riggle.
Poor Rob Riggle.
But generally, you know,
can he ever live that down?
He's very worried about it.
He's very conflicted about it. Because
he's
like people,
Riggle, you picked up your own dick with your mouth.
How's your dick? Did it come out your asshole?
Oh,
I mean, the poor guy.
Brutal.
Yeah,
forever.
It's gonna be
forever
like that.
And ever. He's a really good sport about it, and you know, and
that was improvised. Believe it or not, a lot of stuff in the movie is improvised, and that one was one where this is spoiler city for anybody who hasn't seen the film.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, Rob Riggle gets shot in.
That's what I meant by
crotch.
Shooting dicks off.
In the crotch, and then and that was basically it. He gets shot in the crotch, and then they read the Miranda rights and whatever. And then at the end, Channing just said, "Is that it?" Sort of jokingly, and then he gave this crazy scream, and it was hilarious. And they were like, "Oh my God, we got to show it!" And then we ran around and found a banana at craft services that we like. Broke off half a banana and covered it in fake blood.
Now,
and then,
did Rob insist it at least had to be half a banana?
No, he was like, afterwards, he was like, why did you do the whole banana? And we're like, well, he could have been shot off at any point in the penis. We're not saying that's the base necessarily. And then afterwards, so we put the thing down and he screams again and then we show the thing and then Jonah goes, pick it up with your mouth. And he was like, you could see... there's like this little sigh of like, he's right, I gotta do this, damn it. And then he just goes for it.
It's genius.
God bless him.
It reminds me of this article I read, an interview with Harold Ramis, and Harold did Orange County, and he's supposed to be on like three things of ecstasy, and and they wrote in there he had to make out with one of the gay students in his class because he's a dean or something, and Harold goes, I can't make out with him. I don't want to. Oh no, he was supposed to blow him, and they ends up kissing him instead. But he's supposed to blow him, and he goes, I don't want to walk around town, and everyone's looking at me like I got blown. So it was brave of Rob Riggle to be like, yes, I'll pick up my own penis with my mouth.
He's a very brave man. You know that he's a soldier. Yeah. And you know, and that's his background.
Yeah.
And that probably,
isn't that crazy?
Like, yeah.
He knows it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He knows.
I know. Because that sense of like obligation and the ability to just soldier on.
He's a good man.
Came in very valuable.
So you guys have this huge hit movie. There's already talk there's going to be a sequel. And what's the deal?
What's going on?
Here's the thing, because you know this always happens out here, and for people that don't because I think people think Hollywood's just like this town where there's like a mayor like Eric Estrada,
right?
And you know
he literally called us this morning.
The mayor of Hollywood.
Don't you think that like that was as close to the mayor of Hollywood calling?
The president of movies.
Yeah, it was a guy. It was like a huge, powerful agent.
Hello, I'm the head of film.
And it was like, oh my god, it's really happening. The mayor of Hollywood is calling us.
But yeah, no. For people that you know think that, no, it's not like that. But what does tend to happen is if you have a really big hit movie and there's a possibility to tell another story, they'll commission it before there's even a script. So I'm assuming there's no script yet for 21 Jump Street, right?
There is not a script yet.
No, we're just like in the earliest stages of talking about it, kicking ideas around. Obviously, like the end of the first movie strongly suggests that there's like a college element.
Sure.
So we're kind of in that vein and trying to figure out, you know, what the best relationship story is for the guys, because ultimately, you know, that's the thing that you have to figure out. It's obviously going to be super funny. You know, the area is so rich, and there's a lot of great set pieces.
You still want it to be Ghostbusters 2, is what you're saying.
There will be no Statue of Liberty walking
around. No Vigo the Carpathian.
No Vigo.
You know,
it's so tough.
The first half of Ghostbusters 2 is actually quite delightful.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I enjoy it up until a point, yes.
Yeah.
I used to love the movie as a kid. Like, Ghostbusters 2 was the coolest movie ever when I was a kid. But as I've grown older, I go, okay, this is not Ghostbusters 1. The first Ghostbusters, the first 45 minutes to an hour is like the best work I think Bill Murray's ever done. And he's amazing. He's amazing.
The whole movie is actually pretty phenomenal and holds up actually really well, I think.
Can we get Bill Murray in this Lego movie, too?
He's easy to get, I understand.
Yeah, I hear he's really easy to get.
Maybe tell him that Jim Jarmusch is directing, and maybe that'll work.
Here's what we do. Here's the plan. We'll find out where he's golfing.
Okay.
He's got to be doing a tournament soon.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll fly over there. Hey. I'll be the distraction. I'll like cause a scene. I'll get arrested.
I like
you guys
that.
Swarm in and
save
go,
him.
Bill.
Save him.
Well, here's what I want to do, though.
Yeah.
I just want to. You have some fancy recording equipment here.
Sure.
You probably have
some
even more at your house. Just plant like a little lob on him, and have it and beam whatever he says, and we'll just make a story around.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, like him ordering like lunch or something.
I met Bill once, and he always he says he's always been this way, but he doesn't have an agent or anything, as everyone knows. But he goes, if you can find me, odds are I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
He goes,
smart.
If you want to do a short, I'll do it. If you can find me. So you got to hunt him down.
Good luck.
Yeah, he knows, too. He knows.
That's really smart.
Yeah. Hey, well, he can do it.
He just wants to do good things that are good.
Yeah, you're Bill fucking Murray. You can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Every couple of years, he comes along and reinvents the comedy game. Like Kingpin, Big Earn McCracken, and like...
Groundhog Day. One of the best comedies of all time.
I know, and he hated it.
I can't believe
it. Did he really hate it?
Him and Harold Ramis haven't talked in like 15 years.
Because of Groundhog Day,
one of the best comedies of all time.
Widely considered the best comedy of all time.
Bill wanted it to be more dramatic and philosophical,
right.
And Harold wanted it to be more of a sweet comedy with a great premise.
There is a lot of philosophical stuff in there, but it's not forefront.
Not to Bill's liking.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not forefront. I mean, you can get really deep into the existential nature of that movie.
Are you guys both Washington guys?
I'm from Seattle area.
Okay,
he's from Miami.
Seattle, Miami. Oh, well, that's worlds apart.
Yeah, it's pretty different.
So you guys met at Dartmouth then.
It's true.
That's a true fact.
Okay, now But in Dartmouth, do they have anything to like do there or
anything to do?
Not really.
Yeah, like really. Like when you're not going to class, I just imagine it's a pretty boring area.
No, you can kind of gather snow. you can salt driveways.
There's lots of woods to roam.
Did you guys go to like the football games or anything?
Oh, yeah, we did. We were like school spirit guys. Like we
were cool. Our freshman year, Jay Fiedler, who ended up becoming an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Dolphins quarterback.
Yeah.
he was amazing. The team was undefeated that year.
And what's great about you two is I believe you played it straight when you went to all those sporting events.
Oh,
we
did.
Were like Dartmouth rules.
We literally were like screaming.
We could
fans.
Beat Ohio State.
Yeah. No, we were so pumped
up. We were so good.
It was great. Because the team was so great because they would literally be down 4 touchdowns at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they would always win.
And they would win.
That's great.
And it was the most exciting sports experience of my whole life.
So at what point in time did you guys know you wanted to do this together? You guys are doing shorts and stuff, I know, and animated stuff. And
we made student films and stuff. And
yeah, and by the way, congratulations on all that. It all worked out. It all panned out.
I know. Everyone was nervous. We were nervous. We had our studio that we shared our senior year. We made these epic length, like 10-minute cartoons by hand. And it was across from Career Services. And it also had really bad ventilation. And so it was very warm in there. And so we would have we could watch our friends from our office door go into these like big corporate interviews in like 3-piece suits and like under pressure. They have to answer, crazy math questions and stuff. And we were literally in our underpants drawing cartoons and listening to like Benny Goodman and like
crazy music.
Zany cartoon music.
What now when you guys were big cartoon guys, so what did you do? Who were your favorites growing up? I'm a big Tex Avery guy.
Oh yeah.
Big Tex Avery guy. And it's funny, I just watched those banned Looney Tunes shorts from the 40s. I don't know if you guys ever seen those.
Oh, like the somewhat racist ones? Or the...
Somewhat. Very somewhat. They're so subtle about it.
Yeah.
The dice rolling and the...
There's so much of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what was it for you guys that inspired you to do animation at first?
I mean, we both liked Chuck Jones and all the UPA stuff. And, I mean, we're big fans of animation in general.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that, like, Duck Amuck...
Yeah,
maybe it was probably my like all-time favorite. And then, we had an animation professor, in Dartmouth's anemic film department. Like we had an animation professor who came from the independent animation world. So he would like smuggle film across the Iron Curtain to like a filmmaker who would then scratch on the film emulsion, never see the film, smuggle it back, and then our professor would like develop it and then enter it in like the Annecy Film Festival, is like the biggest film festival in the world, and it would screen there, and the guy would have never seen it. And so he was kind of in this international independent animation scene, and so the big aesthetic is homegrown, homemade filmmaking.
Sure.
And so that's kind of where we came from. A Bolex pointed at the floor and a bunch of drawings, process animation, low tech, not a lot of formal training whatsoever. We have no real like technical background in animation like you would if we went to CalArts or something, where those guys are really technically proficient and they've done tons of life drawing, and we don't have that, which is a deficit. But on the other hand, we have this. We're scrappy. And it's a Dartmouth thing, too. There's a lot of, like, there's a kind of entrepreneurial thing there. So
it's cool.
Or, like, maybe it's just arrogance that you feel like, I can figure this out. And so it creates a kind of idiosyncratic taste or style, I guess.
So these were the most popular questions I got asked to ask you guys. This is why I was looking at my phone.
Oh, very cool. Right. You didn't just get, like, a cool
No. I got
something.
I'm on airplane mode.
Okay, that's nice.
Very good.
Very classy.
Yeah, I'm a classy guy. Charlie Rose may leave his phone on.
Did Charlie Rose leave his phone on one time?
You are known as the black Charlie Rose.
No. I know. I get that all the time. I am the black Charlie Rose.
That's true.
And he still has a bigger dick than me. So weird.
So crazy.
Weird. I love Charlie. Yeah. I don't know him. I love how I said that, like Chuck and I go to get drinks
and show each other
Rosie,
our dick.
Rosie, what's up?
Rosie, is your dick still huge?
Oh, Chuck. Oh.
I bet he has a big dick. This is going to keep me from ever going on to Charlie Rose.
No, I don't think it will. I think he will have you on very soon.
No.
I bet he does.
Yeah, I think so, because he doesn't, you know, he seems very confident in himself.
But
yeah.
He's a smart guy. He should be confident.
Yeah.
He seems tall to me, too.
I think he is tall.
He does look tall, because he's always hunched over his desk. He has that. See, I met Larry King, and he always hunches, but he's not tall.
No.
He's like 4 foot two.
He's a little dude. Yeah.
But Charlie's always hunching, and it looks like he has a lot more going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Legs that go for miles.
Charlie's a
huge wiener.
I have a theory about Charlie. You'll either be up all night watching his show, or it'll help you go to sleep. Yeah. Both of them. It's win-win.
Either way.
Depends on the guest.
Yeah, exactly. It's
sometimes
not on him. It's the
Israel
guest.
Stuff.
I know.
Just I want to pay attention.
Charlie's way interested.
He gets those guys on, and it's amazing, and you're just, this is so important.
And he never asks you the questions you want to know about, like,
asleep.
How do you get mail to your cave? Like, he never asks those real important questions.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Okay, will you guys direct the 21 Jump Street sequel?
That's one.
That was a really popular one.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Well, you know, we have a lot of things to figure out first. You know, like, there needs to be a script.
Stop bothering these guys, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be a script, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff to figure out. We need to figure out what we're doing.
But you're interested.
We had a great time.
You're interested.
Those guys are amazing. The world is great, and we love those characters, and you know.
If the stars align again, you'll do it.
Oh,
that's
it would
saying.
Be the best. It would be the best.
Because, it seems like he had a great fucking time doing that movie.
Yeah, it was a blast, and the guys are great. And, you know, they gave us such a big opportunity letting us direct that movie. Jonah had been with that project for so long. And, you know, we just tricked him into thinking we could do it.
Yeah.
And now he seems smart, you know. But.
Yeah. Were you guys really ever afraid, like, this is going to ruin our chances to ever do a live-action movie again if it doesn't do well?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every day, you know, you've got the fear that it's going to, you know, that the whole thing's going to fall apart. Like, we felt like we were getting really funny stuff, and we really liked all the aspects of it, but you never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to all come together. People are going to like it. People are going to hate it.
Well, it worked out. People loved it. It tested great.
It did test
great. Rotten Tomatoes is, like, through the roof.
Yeah, but people seem to respond well to it so
far. Yeah. Let me ask you then, here's the second most popular question I got to ask for you guys.
All right.
This was, like, a bunch of them, but the same topic, so I combined it to one. Details on Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Part 2.
Well,
any details on it? Any plot? Any
details? I don't know if we're allowed to say anything about the plot.
Okay. Because everyone wants to know about this movie.
Yes, it is. We're producing it. These guys who were like key members of the team of the first movie, Chris Perrin and Cody Cameron, are directing it.
Great.
They're great. We worked on a story together with some friends of ours and those guys and found something that we think is a funny, cool movie that is its own sort of genre type of thing.
Are you bringing any cast back?
The cast coming back. Well, most of the cast coming back. And some new characters too. I don't know what we're really allowed to say about it, but I think it will be very funny and in the way that the first one was sort of like a disaster movie for families. This is a different type of genre of movie.
Very cool. Very cool.
But it's gonna be great.
Details on Lego Piece of Resistance. And you need to say it like that.
The piece.
Everyone's sending me questions about that, and I know it's a very tight-lipped project and stuff. Is there anything you guys can talk about, anything you can offer up about the movie? We know it's going to be an action flick, PG probably.
Yep.
Okay.
A lot of comedy, a lot of action.
You're good at guessing.
Yeah. You really,
I want to make you guess more stuff.
It's mostly animated with a little bit of live action. It is...
Oh, a little live action?
Yeah, a little bit of live action, but mostly it takes place in an all-Lego universe where, like, the oceans are made out of millions of animating Lego bricks, and the smoke is animating Lego, and it's all an all Lego universe, like something you've never seen before.
I'm so pumped for that movie. Yeah. You got no idea.
Yeah.
It's gonna be really cool.
It's gonna be like when I was at Lorax, and I was the only person over 18 there. And people were a little creeped out by
You're
me.
Like,
I'm sitting there with my big 3D glasses.
Yeah, like,
I'm looking at this
kid
next to me. I'm like, thumbs up. This is good.
Yeah. Like, where's your son?
Yeah.
You, I think in that situation, you should show hold your hands up above your eyes.
All the time.
Just so everyone can see that.
Everything's fine here. I'm
That's what I do when I see a children's film.
Always hold your hands
up. Way up.
I love animated movies, though. So
now, whoever's sitting next to me, by the way, nobody
Game
can
over.
See their hands.
Game over. Guys, I've taken up enough of your guys' time.
And that's the end.
I know you guys want to get the fuck out of here,
yeah,
I bet. So it's getting late, and I really appreciate you guys doing this.
Thank you so much for having us on your show.
Yeah, man, we love it.
Listen, don't fall for my tricks like Jonah fell for yours.
Okay.
I just fake being an interviewer. I don't.
You did great.
This is me acting.
You did great.
This is me acting. I'm interviewer guy.
That's
you know
great.
Very convincing. Very convincing.
I think you're doing great.
Great.
Honestly, you killed it.
Now I'm acting like Charlie Rose. That's my thing.
No,
so,
that's good.
I really appreciate you guys doing this. I'm very, like, legitimately very happy for your success of this movie.
You
guys seem like really good dudes. Jonah, I hear from everybody that knows him, is a great dude. And Channing, I know Channing's wife. She's great.
She's the best.
She's
huh?
great. She's the nicest girl ever, and she's a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Channing's just as great as
yeah,
she
is. Dream.
So,
he is.
For a bunch of good people in this business to have a huge hit and enjoy working together, Ice Cube,
yeah.
Rob Riggle,
all
Jake Johnson, Brie Larson, great movie.
Great,
everybody.
People.
I'm so happy you guys let me do this.
Oh,
I really
thank you,
thank, thank you so much. I'm so glad you liked the movie. This interview would have been such a bummer if you'd hated it.
Well, I wouldn't have probably showed
it was like
up.
Like a sneak attack. You're like, yeah,
I would
no,
have been like
it.
Traffic.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah.
I want to just get those guys and ream them.
I would go into an AA meeting instead.
Yeah, that sounds better. That sounds
awesome.
Better.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. And thank you to all our listeners, www.thematthewaronshow.com, Matthew Aaron Show on iTunes, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, and The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like it. Thank you very much. And Chris Miller, Phil Lord, thank you. Go see 21 Jump Street in theaters now. Look for the Lego movie probably next year. And maybe 21 Jump Street's going to have a part two. We don't know. We'll see. All right. Thank you.
Crossed.
Thank you. And by the way, see Project X as well. Michael Bacall also wrote that film.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it. We've seen it. Mike Binder saw it twice. He loved it so much.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Back-to-back days.
Great
and
director.
And then Moneyball, if you want to see Jonah just really kill it. So, okay, thank you very much. Have a good evening.